My name is Irene Kurka and I welcome you cordially to my podcast, Neue Musik Leben. I have studied classical singing and I really enjoy singing contemporary experimental music and I love doing performance. If you would like to know more about me, please look at my website www.irenekurka.de and I will put this into the show notes. And in this podcast, I talk about topics all around contemporary music and about the life of musicians. I share with you insider knowledge behind the scenes, and I really want to bring you the human beings out of the new music world closer. I'm cooperating with the NMZ, Neue Musikzeitung, which is a great magazine about music in the German-speaking area. And I'm really, really excited and thankful that you all are listening to this podcast, that you're writing me, that this podcast is not only listened to in the German-speaking countries. I mean, most of the episodes have been in German, but also in many other countries. And sometimes this podcast showed up in charts like in Iceland or in Nepal. So what else is possible? And since I get the feedback and I realize that there's so many faithful English listeners to this podcast, and also because I have been doing this podcast now for over 5 years, and there have been interesting coincidences that there will be more English episodes coming up. So I'm sure you can look forward to this. I hope so. I hope this makes you happy that there are more English episodes being released in the future. And you could also write me if you have ideas or suggestions for me, and sometimes I can pick it up if it fits to whatever else is going on. So yeah, write me an email. And I'm also thankful if you put some stars down, 5 stars at Apple, or even write a little review, because it really helps that this podcast is visible and that the contemporary and experimental music is visible. And yes. So in today's episode, I also have an amazing guest for you. It's Nathan Plant. He's a wonderful trumpet player. And he's not only a trumpet player, and he's not only a trumpet player who also does lots of contemporary music, which we will talk about, but he also started a blog, The Modern Trumpet, and where he really talks about, yeah, what trumpet players need or what kind of pieces they like to play or what is maybe challenging or what is maybe even impossible. And so I'm really excited now to share this interview with you with Nathan Plant. Hello, Nathan. I really welcome you today into my podcast.
Hey, Irena. It's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
I'm so excited. And I would like to know from you, how did you find your way into new and experimental music?
Yeah, that's kind of a funny story. I found my way into new music by not liking it, which is maybe a strange way to get into it. I was always curious what the student composers and were writing when I was studying, but a lot of the stuff I was hearing, I didn't really enjoy. And I felt like this was a world that somehow was closed to me and that I was not understanding something. So I took a new music theory course at the Hans Eisler Hochschule, where I studied here in Berlin, and dove into some work and actually found my way to enjoying it that way, by sort of studying it and finding things about it that I did like. And so that, in combination with kind of my natural curiosity about living composers, really got me into it. And I don't know if they still do the Eisler Prize at the Hochschule in Berlin, at the University in Berlin, but there was a competition where composers would submit pieces and they would be performed, and there was also a prize for interpretation. And I had contacted the composition department in Berlin and said, "Hey, I'm a trumpet player here. I'm interested in playing student pieces. So if you want to write for the trumpet, just let me know." And somebody responded and had a piece that they wanted to write for the Eisler Prize. So yeah, I played the piece. We didn't win anything, but in the audience happened to be Ernst Suhrberg, the pianist from Ensemble Mosaic here in Berlin, and they happened to be looking for another trumpet player to work with. So thank you, Ernst, because this was my gateway into working in new music. He liked what he heard and invited me to come play with Mosaic, and that was my way in the door. And suddenly I was getting called from other ensembles as well and playing a lot of new music right at the end of my studies. So it was a perfect transition for me at the time.
It's also interesting that you said you didn't like it, but there was still something, urging you, and you wanted to find out why you don't
Yeah,
like it.
it was different, and I was drawn to things that were different, and I didn't necessarily want to have the career path that everyone else was looking for when I was studying. So new music was a great outlet for that, and I think I discovered something really wonderful by following up on that despite not liking it at first.
And when you work with the composers, what qualities do you appreciate most in them?
That's a really good question. I think at this point in my career, I appreciate a composer who either knows the instrument very well or is willing to learn and use that knowledge in the piece. I've kind of maybe in my old age at 41, I've lost a bit of patience with composers who don't write well for the instrument. And that's motivation also for my blog, which we're going to talk about, I know, a little bit later. But I really appreciate a composer who's willing to listen to the musician about what works and what doesn't work, and integrate that into their artistic idea instead of maybe insisting on an artistic idea that doesn't work well for the instrument. Always want to push boundaries, but there's also a point when you've reached that boundary and you can't do anything else. So I like that working together and coming up with solutions together, and composer who's open to that.
Before we talk about your wonderful blog, what would you wish, or what is so essential about the trumpet that every composer, or also the younger ones, the starting ones, should really know that they could write pieces you feel more thrilled about to play?
I like this question because there is one thing that I wish all composers would understand about trumpet and brass instruments, and that has to do with endurance. We have a very physical instrument that's very tiring to play. It's actually very comparable to singers, and I often use that analogy and say, okay, you wouldn't write, C3, the high C, and in this third octave for a soprano all the time. They can only do that for a little while and then they need a break. And you can think of us a little bit like singers. We need to breathe, we need to rest. Range is not like on the piano where you can just play a high note and there it is. It's a very physical thing. It's very tiring. And that's one of the first blog posts I actually wrote was about endurance. And when I go give seminars at universities on this material, this is the first thing I talk about. And if there's one thing people remember from my blog, it should be that post about endurance, because if you got that down, then you've already got a piece that works. But if that aspect is out of balance, then I've got a piece I can't play, no matter how playable the techniques are, or no matter how good the musical ideas are. I have to be able to physically make it from the beginning to the end. I think you can relate with that well as a singer.
Certainly. I mean, I also feel when you talk also about breathing, I often talk about that too, even though for me it seems it's the most fundamental thing about singing. And but there's still composers who don't think about it, and they write lines where, well, there's no space to breathe. And I always say then to the young composers when I work with them also in workshops, I'm like, you can do that, but then you give
it's your decision. You give the decision to me, because I will have to find spots where I will breathe, because that's how my body works. And that's then your decision. If you want to decide it, I mean, if you look at phrases like Mozart, Handel, they always have a length that really works with a breath. And one time I had a piece where it was not, I mean, when it's singing, I can kind of breathe wherever and make it artistic. But I had once a piece where I had to just have an outward breath, and there you cannot stop. I mean, you will hear the stop, or I could breathe inward, but then the sound changes. And I was actually surprised that this composer didn't think about it. And so in the dress rehearsal, I said, like, and then she had to change it. And sometimes really surprised, because this is so basic. And also with the high C, I know that most of my colleagues, we shouldn't say actually this out loud, we often get then asked, what is your range? And I know most of my colleagues then don't give the whole range, because they don't want this to happen. And even though you say, oh, composers know with singers. No, I have gotten those pieces where you sit like, I don't know, 30 minutes on high C. That's not comfortable. Nobody wants to do this. And but it's still good to talk about it, because then it can change in endurance. So what does make then a piece endurable for you? Because I mean, what is stressing, I don't know, because I also want to figure it out now.
Yeah, it's kind of a complicated question because it depends on a lot of factors. And in the blog post I wrote about this, I really tried to go through it in a methodical way and break it down to what range is strenuous, what techniques are strenuous, what techniques and range are relaxed, and that you, so you can balance out those strenuous sections. And I think, I could probably talk to you for the whole hour just about this. But it's similar to singing. You need phrases of a certain length, and then you need a rest of a certain length. You need to be able to breathe. If I'm playing strenuous material, I probably need a rest afterwards, and maybe a rest before. And your point about range is great, because when they get asked this question, it's really like, well, it depends. Most days I can hit a G3 in my warm up, but don't ask me to play this on stage. And don't forget that your piece isn't the only piece on the program, and I might be doing something before it. I might have something I have to do afterwards. So if your piece is the chop killer, where I can't play anything before or after it, it probably won't get programmed, because that's just not how concerts work. So again, it's the decision. You can write that piece if that's very important to you, and maybe I'll play it once if I told you I was going to play it, but I probably won't play it again because it's hard to program one 8-minute piece that kills me, and have a full concert with that.
I totally see you. So I guess everybody wants to know about endurance about within trumpet playing should definitely read this article
Yes,
on your
please.
blog. And is there anything you like when what composers write for you in trumpet, or what is very enjoyable to play? Is there any other aspect?
Yeah, to be honest, I think my taste in that has changed over time, and I don't want to criticize certain techniques or the way certain composers like to write music, but I find I appreciate more and more pieces where I actually play the trumpet. And that sounds like a weird thing to say, but I think you know this from new music too. There's a lot of pieces where I'm doing a lot of things with the instrument that isn't playing the trumpet. And I spent many years trying to create, beautiful sounds on the trumpet, and I love the noisy sounds as well, but I like to play the trumpet. That's why I'm doing all this. So, I appreciate when a composer writes for the instrument as it is. This is one thing, I mean, to name drop a little bit, that I really love about Enno Pappa's music and his brass writing is he writes wonderful lines for brass. They're playable. They challenge you, but not to the point that it breaks you. And they're just wonderful lines of music to play. And that's so much fun. As much as I like, making percussive sounds and hitting my trumpet and making all kinds of crazy stuff. In the end, I love playing the trumpet, and that's what I'm good at. So I appreciate it when a composer uses the instrument for what it is.
So let's talk about your blog, The Modern Trumpet. How and why did you start this blog?
Well, yeah, I started it, I think, because I mean, it actually didn't start as a blog. It started as some PDF files I was making for composers when I get, the 10th piece in a row that's using pitched air sounds over the entire range of the trumpet. Then I finally made a little info sheet. It's like, here's how pitched air sounds work. So, just so you can understand that, read this and then come back to me with your questions or with the edited piece because what you wrote just doesn't work. And I had the ambition to create a book, a published book of all of these techniques and kind of these info sheets, and was trying to get funding for this book for a long time, and it never worked. And then Paul Hübner and Malte Burba beat me to it with their book. I think it's called The Modern Times of Brass Playing, something like that. It's a wonderful book that goes through a lot of different techniques. And I was very discouraged when I saw this book, as wonderful it was, because it felt like my idea was sort of dead with that. And then I was really inspired by Heather Roche, the clarinet player. She's got a wonderful blog about clarinet technique. And I thought, why don't I just put this material out as a blog that can be accessible to anybody for free. And this was also, I think, the change to my funding proposal that got it approved by the Berlin Senate. I got a Arbeitsstipendium, a grant from the Berlin Senate to finish my research for this material and put out the blog. And that actually came in the first Corona summer. I got this grant, and it was kind of a lifesaver, both financially and also because it gave me a project to work on, and I could finally really go for it. So, yeah, that's kind of how it started. I got a follow-up grant, a Corona grant, the next year to create videos, video demonstrations of some of the techniques. And I think there are at least four of those up on my YouTube channel, where I demonstrate some of these techniques in kind of a condensed way to give composers an overview. And I'm just so glad I was finally able to realize that project, because I get emails from composers all over the world that appreciate my blog. I get sent pieces, I get sent questions, and it's just so satisfying to know that there's always one composer more who now understands how to write for the trumpet, and it's just going to improve the quality of our repertoire in the coming years.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I'm glad you started it. And also, as you see, how many people you can reach. And I mean, maybe it still will become a book. I mean, when I started this podcast, I also wanted to write a book. Actually, Liam Weir inspired me to write a book. And I started it in 2015. And then there were reasons I did not continue. And then I pulled it out in fall 2017. And I also went to a guy who does some funding, and he just looked at me like, oh, why don't you want to write a book? Do something with the new media. And I went out, I'm like, I have no clue. But then there was the podcast, and now I have three books, so you never know.
Yeah, actually that's a good point. I mean, what I like about the blog format is that I can always go back and edit these posts. I can add new things because it's constantly changing, the world of new music and the different techniques that are possible. And a lot of things that I might have written, don't do this, it's not possible, then suddenly some trumpet player comes and can do it, and I kind of have to go back and correct that. I like to be
So,
able to
how
do
often do you write, or do you just get inspired by the questions or by the pieces you play yourself?
well. Oh, I'm a bit embarrassed to say, in the last 2 years, I have written one blog post. There are still plenty of topics I would like to cover in the blog. There's a lot already there. I've covered most things already, but I had a baby 2 years ago, and this really changed my life. And it also changed my ability to make videos, to make content. So now I'm not pressuring myself to write blog posts. I think so much is already up there. And I'm now using that material to go around to universities and do workshops on this material. In fact, I'm in the middle of that right now with Professor Aaron Cassidy's class in Hanover. I gave my workshop lecture a month ago, and now they're writing pieces for me, and I'll come back in February and we'll work on those pieces and perform them. And I really like this part about it is meeting with composers in person, especially with students, and getting them early so they understand right at the beginning how to work with brass instruments and write wonderful music for us when they graduate.
That sounds really good. Everybody should now check out this blog. And you already mentioned the thing with how you organize your day or your time, and now it even changed with the baby. How do you do all of that? How do you do all of that? Do you have some kind of time management? Are you very focused, structured? What is your secret? How do you get everything done?
Yeah, I mean, now having a small child at home, it's very, very difficult. I am no longer master of my own time, and I have to take the chances to practice when I get them. And those aren't always the times when I feel like, yes, now I am inspired to practice and work on something, but I know I've got 90 minutes and this is my time. I need to get it done now. And at the beginning, I was concerned that this might make me a worse trumpet player, that my playing would deteriorate, but actually I think it's improved strangely. I use my time a bit more efficiently, and I also have it's given me a certain distance to my playing. Before having a kid, trumpet was the most important thing in my life, and practicing and making sure I was playing well and that I was prepared for my gigs, and this put a lot of pressure on me. And suddenly, with a kid, I've got this other thing that's way more important than everything else in my life. And it's given me distance to my playing. And I think that's made me a better player, because I put less pressure on myself to be good, which strangely gives me the freedom to be good and play well and not doubt myself or second guess myself as much as I used to. And I think also when it comes to practice, I have come to appreciate the power of very short practice sessions. Even just right now, I'm got some couple pieces that are coming up next year with very difficult fingerings. Everything about it's not so bad, but the fingerings are just extremely tricky. And I don't have time to work on these pieces right now, but I do always have 5 minutes to work on these fingerings. And even just doing a little bit of that every day, even if I miss a day, I already notice, yeah, okay, I think when it's time to come and work on this piece, I'm going to be ready with these fingerings, and that's not going to be the issue anymore. So I'm glad to have a couple of decades of discipline behind me. So in these difficult times, when I'm tired, it's only at 6 o'clock when I have time to pull out the trumpet and do something, that I have that discipline and that drive to do it.
And who or what has played the greatest role in shaping you and what inspires you?
It's a very big question, and I don't know if I could really name one person, but I think I've been lucky to have trumpet professors who were very influential for me, in that they were not only good musicians and good trumpet players, but also just good people. And so I learned a lot about how to be a good professional and how to be a good person, and that was very inspiring to me. My professor here in Berlin, Bill Forman, who's about to retire, wonderful trumpet teacher, very influential in modern music, and just all around fantastic guy, has been a big influence on me. Also, I didn't study with him, but Marco Blau from Ensemble Musikfabrik, also wonderful trumpet player, wonderful person. He also went through struggles in his career. He wasn't the golden child who was winning all the competitions and never having difficulties with playing. He's been through a lot, and that's also been a big inspiration for me. And also just seeing what he comes up with, the amazing techniques he can do and the amazing techniques he comes up with, just inspires me that there's always this, you've never learned everything. There's always a way forward and new things to learn. And it's very inspiring and definitely keeps me going in new music, especially, but just as a trumpet player in general.
What do you say, since you already mentioned some of your great colleagues, that like there are maybe just so few of you that you all know each other so well and help each other out, or?
I think, at least in new music, when I first got started in it, the scene was definitely smaller as far as musicians that were interested and that were willing to put the time in to these pieces. And I think that definitely helped me get a foot in the door at the time that I was curious and I was interested, and people were convinced by my playing. That certainly helped as well. And now it's actually wonderful to see these new music master's programs that are around, lots of young people that are interested in playing new music and that are interested in a path, in a career path as a musician that doesn't just involve getting a position in an orchestra. I mean, I'm also a member of an orchestra and I really enjoy that, but I like having my feet in both worlds and being able to enjoy the old classics as well as the bleeding edge, what the young composers are writing right now for our instruments.
And what does it mean for you to be true to yourself or authentic in the music business, and how do you keep true to yourself?
It's something I don't actually think about very much. I think I'm open to a lot of different things artistically. So, as long as I'm performing with good quality people and people who are serious about what they're doing, I'm willing to invest that energy, even if it might be a piece that I don't like or that I doesn't speak to me as much. So, I think for me, being true to myself really has to do with my preparation and how I show up to a rehearsal. That I take what I'm doing seriously, that I prepare properly and show up ready to rehearse. That's been a big way for me to combat nerves as well in the past, is just being very well prepared. So I know exactly what I'm doing, and exactly what to do if things start to go wrong with my playing, knowing those weak spots and knowing how to deal with them. And I think that's probably what integrity to me means the most, not necessarily about the content, but how I prepare when I say yes to something, that I show up ready to work.
And what does success mean for you?
I think for a long time, and still in a way, success as a musician meant being able to make a living as a musician. It was a big goal, a goal I'm very glad that I've been able to realize. It wasn't always easy. So definitely that financial side, as much as I hate to say it, is a big part of feeling successful. And now that I feel like I get enough work, that's sort of settled in a way, I think feeling successful is every time I get a call from a musician I respect or a group that I respect and they want me to come play, this is a big feeling of success for me, or an ensemble telling me the composer told us we have to call you for this. So not just we need a trumpet player, but they want me specifically to come play because they like what I do and they know what they're going to get. So that's a big feeling of success. I think for all of us musicians, I'd love to say I do it for myself and it's just self-satisfying, but we need that recognition. And getting that recognition from other musicians that you respect really does mean a lot.
And is there anything you wish for our new music scene world that would be great for us?
More funding. This would be great.
Yes.
I mean, I hate to complain because I think Germany is maybe the best country in the world for contemporary music as far as funding of the arts, and all the things that are possible here. I don't know where else in the world so much is possible. There's so many new music groups that are able to do just this, and their musicians survive doing this, and it's really amazing. But yeah, more funding for what we do, because it all does cost money. I think if we didn't have funding, a lot of us would still be doing this, but funding makes a lot of things possible. And I think that's probably the thing I would wish for the most. Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoy talking to you. However, we are at the last question, and I would like to know from you what tip would you like to give young or starting artists?
Well, in the context of my talk about my blog, I would say know your instruments and trust your musicians. That would be one thing. And I think the other thing is really just keep going. There's real power in that. I know you're familiar with this too, Irena, that you practice for so many years, you go through these low points, you go through failures, true failure, and having to pick yourself up from that. And I think as an artist, you just have to keep going. You have to show up in your practice space or your desk if you're writing music and just do it. Allow yourself to be crappy. Allow yourself to produce garbage for a while because the gems will also show themselves and you just got to keep at it.
Thank you very much, Nathan. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. I'm a big fan of the podcast and it was a real pleasure talking to you, Irina.
This was the interview from today. I hope that it inspired you. And please send me your emails, send me your feedback, because I love to interact with you. Thank you very much that you tuned in with me today. I really, really hope that you liked it. And please tell your friends and colleagues about this podcast. I thank you very much. I wish you all the best. Live your music, live your life, and see you next time. Yours, Irene.
Thank you.